Sunday, I reviewed the point of the uniqueness of the Easter season in how it presents itself and what we do, our prayers and the liturgical reflections are during this particular time. Unique in it, as opposed to Advent, where during Advent we prepare for Christmas, during Lent we prepare for Easter. Pentecost, that entire time of Pentecost, after Pentecost season, demonstrates for us how the Holy Ghost works in the church and in souls and how much the church grows during that particular time. It's this Eastertide. Last Sunday I identified it as that it has transitional Sundays. Transitioning from Easter Sunday and the thoughts of the resurrection, and transitioning now to the other important dogmas of our faith that we must also reflect upon too. The Ascension, Pentecost, and then the great dogma of our faith, the Blessed Trinity. And so the Easter season is not just the reflection on the resurrection. It does that for a couple of Sundays. And then starting with the third Sunday after Easter starts this transition to our thoughts being on that. And the transition is largely on the concentration on an understanding of who God is, particularly in the Holy Ghost, the workings of the Holy Ghost. Last week, when we talked about things, we identified that the Holy Ghost works in our souls, and we need to allow Him to do that. But the more that we understand a bit of how the Holy Ghost works in our souls, then we will see the fulfillment of what Jesus said to His apostles at the Last Supper. That's where we're taking these Gospels from, is from His sermon that He gave to them at the Last Supper. Then when He said to them that He will be leaving and then come back, then He'll be leaving, and then they will not see Him, and then the next time they see Him, there'll be a joy that no man will be able to take from them. And He's speaking of that, the time they would have in heaven. That there would be joy that could not go away, but the joy will only be strong because the Holy Ghost is alive. The Holy Ghost is so strong in them. It has made them, brought them to a love of God, a confidence in God, an understanding that even though it seemed that Jesus had disappeared, they were not alone. And they knew that. And so the grace of God worked greatly in our souls at this particular point. And so in seeing God, there's a joy. Heaven has the great joys that no one, nothing can come up that will take it away. And that's chiefly because in this life, right now on this earth, we're working with the Holy Ghost and allowing Him to work within us. Today, what the Gospel presents to us, again from the same sermon of Jesus at the Last Supper, today what it presents to us is a bit of the understanding of what we'll call the temporal mission of the Holy Ghost. Pope Leo XIII is the one who uses this term. He's not the first one. But when he wrote the encyclical on the Holy Ghost, he speaks about the temporal mission of the Holy Ghost. That means in time, in this time, in our time, the time that there is between the creation of the world until the end of the world, that during time, during this temporal part, what is the mission of the Holy Ghost and what that the mission that He has among men? We're going to see that in His working here during this temporal time, that it's a great thing to help to work to sanctify us and also to give life and strength and guidance to the church. We'll get to that particular point, talking about temporal mission, when we understand something that our Lord said in the Gospel that at times has been a tripping point for people over the centuries. Jesus tells His disciples, He says, you know, first of all, you don't ask where I am going, but then He says, it is expedient that I go. Expedient. It's necessary, and necessary quickly. That's the idea about expediency. It's necessary that I go. Because if I do not go, the Holy Ghost will not come, He says. Well, let's try to understand this at this particular point. It's not just because He's on the earth that He's presenting some kind of blockage and that God can't be everywhere and the Holy Ghost can't come as long as Jesus is here, even in His glorified body. We understand quite well, and I hope we do, about the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. That when we talk about God the Father, according to the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, we're also talking about God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. When we talk about God the Son and the works that He has done, the Father and the Holy Ghost are equally referred to because it's all the same God and one God. Likewise, when we talk about the Holy Ghost, the God the Father and God the Son are also involved, but we're chiefly at that time talking about the Holy Ghost. Part of the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, I'm not trying to steal any thunder from a feast day a few Sundays down the road. But one of the mysteries, or one of the parts of the mysteries of the Blessed Trinity, comes up with our human understanding of having people around. You know, we are workers. We can justify people doing certain things and having her as long as they've got a job, as long as they've got something to do. If they don't have anything to do, it's hard for us to find why is this person here? Why are certain things taking place? And so forth. What oftentimes goes through the minds of men when they think about the Blessed Trinity is, I believe in it because God has revealed it. There's three persons, one God. But what do they do? What does God the Father do? What does God the Son do? What does God the Holy do? I need, as a human being, some kind of thing in my head right now to help me to justify this great mystery in my own mind. First of all, God isn't going to react to my own mind and live up to my demands. Yet nevertheless, through revelation, we are taught, if we're looking for these things that, in the theological languages, the appropriations within the Blessed Trinity, referring to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, we can see what they are. The Fathers of the Church refer to them as the ages of the members of the Blessed Trinity in working with men. The temporal time from the creation of the world until the end of world, that's specifically, uniquely assigned to God the Father, or God the Son, or God the Holy Ghost, are certain times, certain parts of those times in the workings with men to show that they uniquely are working there. And yet, like I said, with the mystery, if God the Father works, so does the Son and the Holy Ghost, and likewise. Of these three ages, temporal missions that there are within the Trinity, the first one that we understand from Revelation is that creation is referred to God the Father. Any of the works of bringing about creation and things like that is referred to him uniquely. Not that he was the only one created. Okay, we'll keep it straight regarding that mystery of our faith. He wasn't the only one who did this, but yet nevertheless, it's referred to him. He is the one that we refer to as the unique part of the Creator, as the Father who was created. His age, his period of time in working in men, if you will, his temporal mission in fulfilling these things were from the time, the beginning of creation, up until about the time of Moses. The works of creation, getting men going, correcting them through Noah and getting things going again, teaching them, living with, or helping Adam in the 900 years he was alive to understand what he must do in all this. This is uniquely called of the temporal mission of God the Father, of the work of creation, and to have these things take place. Starting with the time of Moses and the prophets and everyone looking ahead and getting more serious about the coming of the Redeemer, starts the time of the temporal mission of God the Son. God the Father ends his temporal mission at the time of Moses, the giving of the commandments and so forth, because everything now looks toward the Redeemer to come. God the Father doesn't disappear, but his mission, if you will, ends. Human language to help us understand what's going on. The temporal mission of God the Son begins now. From the time of Moses, the lawgiver, all the way through, even through the life of Jesus Christ, his establishment of a church, his preaching, his death upon the cross, and it ends with his ascension into heaven. It ends because the work of the redemption that's uniquely given to God the Son ends at that point. He's always interceding for us before our Heavenly Father. He's always praying for us. The work of redemption that he has done by giving us the church, beginning with the church and all that, is there quite strongly. Okay, we're not denying that particular point. And where God the Father is, so is also God the Holy Ghost. But the temporal mission, the mission in time with Jesus Christ from the time of Moses until his ascension into heaven. After his ascension into heaven, there's a brief period of time, the first of all the novenas of Mary and the apostles preparing for the Holy Ghost to come. On Pentecost, the Holy Ghost comes. This begins his temporal mission, and that mission will last until the end of time. We are in the age of the Holy Ghost, you and I. We've been this way since the church was founded on the first Pentecost Sunday. We are uniquely governed and guided in this time by the Holy Ghost. Yes, for those who need to hear it, God the Father, God the Son are also included in this because we can't separate the Blessed Trinity. But the unique appropriation of the duty that's responsible in a temporal mission among men, so we can understand the workings in the Blessed Trinity and have a greater devotion to God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are in the age of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came at Pentecost to strengthen the apostles as our Lord predicted to them in the gospel of today. Anything they did not understand, things were incomplete, or whatever it was that they had, they would have all truth, be able to speak it and understand when the Holy Ghost came to them. We see that in a miraculous manner. Not only does the Holy Ghost help the apostles there, the church, which Jesus had founded on Peter and given to Peter the unique gift of being infallible. He who hears you hears me. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound on in heaven. Those particular points that were given to Peter before, now the Holy Ghost comes and sanctifies the church, this great organization, the society that Jesus has given. It's not just some religion. It is now enlivened by the Holy Ghost to the point that the church teaches us infallibly. We can look to the church with great confidence and love because every one of the teachings coming from the church comes from God Himself, is protected. The church is founded on men. Men can fail, but not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost will not fail. That's why as Catholics we so often look to the works of the church and we say that we are strong, we are comforted by the work of the church. We are church-minded. What the church teaches us through the councils, through the popes, through the approved theologians, the fathers and doctors of the church, what are taught through her living magisterium as well as the magisterial teachings throughout the centuries, we have absolute confidence in them. We don't need to go back and review them and say, well, gee, does this come along and start to think, is this similar to what was done before? Or why the changes here? I'm going to reject this now because of this there. No, Catholics don't have that kind of problem. Until modernism came along, there is no evolution of teaching. What is taught by to the apostles is taught the same all the way through because it's the same Holy Ghost, the same God who enlightens the church. God is truth. God will not change. When the Holy Ghost in His work right now, in the temporal mission, in the age of the Holy Ghost, is to keep us strong and confident in these teachings. This is why if people come along and say, well, according to the spirit of the times, what was taught before, well, it can change now. And we can come along and change, especially if there's no authority in Rome and things like that. We can make changes now. Simply because the times are different. Mind you, the syllabus of error, number 80, that's a condemned proposition that the Holy Father has to keep up with the times and make changes in the church according to the times. Because many times the changes that take place, sometimes they're in doctrine, most of the time they're in morals. That's not the work of the Holy Ghost. So you see, what we're talking about here, this age of the Holy Ghost that we are in, that even though we're in a time of crisis in the church and things like that, we still have the Holy Ghost to govern and guide the church. The church is not a set of buildings. It's a set of beliefs. A union of faithful. Under authority. The moral union of all the teachings. We talked about this moral union last time. The moral union to all the teachings that is given to us in all these particular times. That's who we are. This is what we are as Roman Catholics. The Council of Trent, the Vatican Council of 1870 both explained and taught us about what this moral union to the magisterial papal teachings of the church is. That's where we are. This is the age in which we are right now. We're under the age of the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost has to be to us someone who is strong, a friend, as we find in devotions that are prayed, our greatest friend. Because He keeps us strong, keeps us faithful, sanctifies us in every way through the sacraments and graces that we gain by prayer. Jesus, when talking about the Holy Ghost, He says about Him that He will come to give conviction, convince the world because of sin, justice, and judgment. And He explains what He means by the points of sin and justice and judgment. The Holy Ghost is going to come bring conviction to the world. It's condemned. The world follows what the devil wants. It's under that particular point. And that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we who are under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and the age of the Holy Ghost, do not follow the world. If we do, we follow it to condemnation. That's the conviction you and I need to have. But if we get swallowed up in opinions, whatever it says on the latest internet blog, somebody comes along and says, well, today this is what we're going to say, this is what we're going to teach, because we're in a unique time right now, and we can go ahead and make changes. If we find people that we think has a good opinion at work or at school, if doubts come up about our very religion and things like that, then it's because we're lacking in conviction. The conviction starts with saying, I live in the age of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is governing and guiding the church. The Holy Ghost gives to the church all the foundation of all truth that is ever needed. We're not going to be like the Protestants, where the Spirit speaks to me. He may speak differently to you than he does to me. And so what's true to you, well, it's going to be a different truth to me. That's a mockery of who the Holy Ghost really is. And we're not going to follow those ideas. The Holy Ghost, and we live in His age right now. We have confidence in His intercession for us. We pray for conviction, a strength of heart and soul, that I won't weasel myself through the winged things of the world and say, well, I'm going to lean this way, and still think I'm a practicing Catholic. No. Conviction. To live for God in everything. To stop making the excuses. I just can't help but fall into sin. I can't help these bad habits. Yes, we can. The Holy Ghost is here to give us strength and conviction. We live in the age of the Holy Ghost. All it takes is us is to pray and listen to His inspirations. But because we don't, then we fall under the condemnations of sin, of justice, and judgment that goes to the world. This is the age of the Holy Ghost. If ever there was an age in the church, an age when God works among men, when the faithful need conviction, not wishy-washiness, not giving over to opinions, not anything of that nature. If ever there was an age, it's now. And if you don't believe that, I'm sorry for you. You're not obedient to the inspirations of the Holy Ghost because of that. Because if you were in this age of the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't understand. I need conviction to make it through this life. To make it through on my pilgrimage to eternity. If I don't have conviction, I'm done. I'll be swallowed in by the world and condemned to its judgment and justice because of that. Because I will not listen to the Holy Ghost. I will not form conviction. I'll be satisfied with being a mediocre person. And you know, our age right now cannot handle mediocrity. We've got to have strength of conviction in everything we think, say, and do. Don't go out and think that you're weird if you do something like that. You're being true to God, first of all, living by the Holy Ghost. What the Holy Ghost did for the apostles and has done for the saints for the centuries, He can and will do for us if we live according to His age in which we are right now. A suggestion I have to help with this living in the age of the Holy Ghost. You know, people often ask, what prayers can I pray, Father? What can I do here? All these type of things, so I can better have the inspirations of the Holy Ghost in me. There are many, many good prayers and solemn prayers for the Holy Ghost. In fact, in a few weeks, we're going to be starting the Novena to the Holy Ghost. Many good prayers and wonderful prayers right there. But there's a simple prayer that all of us can pray. It's so simple that it brings great graces in using. I think it's a simple, people are going to think, no, it's too simple. It's got to be something else. We live a complicated life instead of having the simplicity that we should have. We live this complicated life and need all this, instead of simplicity. The simplicity of it is just simply saying, come Holy Ghost. That's it. That's the prayer. That if we all prayed that frequently through the day, it doesn't take great memorization, does it? Three words, come Holy Ghost. In the Recolta, the church's book on indulgence prayers, you'll find that, three words, Veni Sancti Spiritus, come Holy Ghost. You'll find it there, it's indulgent, 300 days every time we say it. If we recite it with love and devotion, the Holy Ghost comes and strengthens me because I'm asking Him, come to me, enlighten me, strengthen me, help me. Instead of relying on my own strengths and powers and inspirations, come, Holy Ghost. It's so simple to get into that habit. And if I get into that habit through the day, and the next day, and the next, I'm wonderfully living in the age of the Holy Ghost. I'm being the child of God that I should be during this age of the Holy Ghost. And what is more, my conviction will strengthen because I'm constantly asking the Holy Ghost to come and being obedient to His inspirations. Those three words repeated frequently, asking for the work of the Holy Ghost into us, can change us all from being mediocre Catholics to people with conviction. We can change the world, just this group that's here even right now. We can change the world one person at a time with the conviction that comes to us from the Holy Ghost. It's up to us. Always has been up to us, but more so even now. It's up to us. This is the work that is set before us. To keep alive the things of God. To live in this age of the Holy Ghost. To win souls to God. With conviction that we have, and to bring conviction to their lives. Come, Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful. Fill the hearts of those who are dedicated to thee and through thee, or I should say to thee through Mary, whom we honor during the month of May. Mary is the spouse of the Holy Ghost, and Lewis de Montfort teaches us the more that we have Mary in our lives, the Holy Ghost comes to us even more. This is the great way to see the Holy Ghost working and alive. Really living in this age of the Holy Ghost as we should. And with so few people try to understand. The age of conviction. The age of grace. The age of holiness. Come, Holy Ghost. Fill my heart. Make me strong. Help me in these times better than I've ever had before. Make me strong in my love and service. Give me conviction in my faith and morals. Help me to live as God wants me to be. Help me to be that child of God that I'm supposed to be. Come, Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.